So there is a, so I think it's really important to remember that all of the CAB's authority flows from the Board of Commissioners. There's no statutory authority for a CAB.
Right.
The Board of Commissioners, we have statutory authority, and then we're all elected individually. So that's where we get our authority from. You get your authority from us. And right now, the resolution is that is your authority. And one suggestion I would have is to me, as I read this, and I kind of went back and forth with the resolution to see where your language was following the resolution and where you had created new language, I think it's really important to cite things. So if you've got a section that's out of the resolution, I think at the end of it, in parentheses or something, you should say resolution, da-da-da, section so-and-so. And then if you're going to add some language to that, which you consider to be an administrative procedure in order to implement this authority, then I would suggest calling it something, you know, CAB admin policy or something, so that the public and the board can know what you're doing. And if things are out of beyond the scope of what might be an administrative procedure, I think it would need to come back to the board to give you the authority to do that. And then backing up a little further, on the issues of the CAB can take up something on its own, or it can take up something when the board assigns it, or if the general manager brings it to you, I think it's important to go back further, and Pete and the original folks remember this. Originally, the CAB can only take up issues that were assigned to it by the board. And then last year, we had this clarification that we thought it was important to allow the CAB to do more than that. And when we get to the community solar stuff, I'll talk about why that's an important thing that we need to consider. And then lastly, I think there's one section in here, where is it? It's talking about the makeup of the subcommittees. What my long document looks like, I can't find it.
7C.
That was not it. It was, I highlighted two of them. So,
7H?
One is 8. This is about district communications or communication to staff. 8B, second sentence, district and CAB communication regarding issues that are being studied by the CAB. Bidirectional communication between district staff and CAB is essential. Then it says, district staff shall in a timely manner communicate all pertinent information to the CAB and vice versa so as to eliminate, to the extent possible, surprises for either party. This is where I think it's important to remember what your authority is. You don't have the authority to tell staff anything. And in my opinion, this is why but the resolution does say you shall have either a staff member or a contract staff member to staff your committee. So I see what you're trying to get at. You're trying to get it. We should communicate and coordinate so we're not getting out of line. I would just suggest maybe changing the language of that to be something whereas your staff appointed person, that you're asking them to communicate with the rest of the PUD staff or communicate what you're doing so that you're staying in coordination. I wouldn't say, the way it reads now, you're telling staff what to do. You can't do that. I can't even do that as a board member. All I can do is with the other board members, if we have 2 out of 3 votes, we can direct the general manager to do things, and he delegates staff on how to do it. So I would address that language so you're not directing staff to do anything. And then above that...
Let me just say something about that.
Sure.
Go ahead. Part of the discussion that came up about this in the past was that we were having subcommittees where individual members were running independently to staff. And so the CAB decided, well, let's monitor ourselves a little bit of that. We want to meet with staff, we'll appoint one person. And if we need to get somebody in here or set up a meeting, then the resource person would help you do that. It's not inappropriate for members of the subcommittee to meet with members of staff as long as it's done in a manner that's as efficient as possible, and you get the information you need. That can certainly be the conduit for that.
Good
and
input.
I think the other one, I'm trying to find it. Under H, item H under 7H, where it talks about gather knowledge and expertise from board members, yada yada. board members one at a time. No board member shall lead the activities of a subcommittee nor formulate written sections of the cap report and recommendations. Again, I think I hear what you're trying to say, and I wouldn't phrase it that way because that sounds like you're trying to tell a board member what to do. Again, you don't have that authority. But you could say something like, where you talk about your subcommittees, which to me, that's your administrative process. You could say that subcommittees, the voting members are so-and-so, and the chair of the subcommittee will run the meeting. And, you know, in my mind, it's up to the chair of the subcommittee. If you decide that you're working in an area that there's someone who's got special expertise, whether it's outside the PUD or within the PUD, and you want them as part of your subcommittee and they can help you formulate something, that's up to your subcommittee to decide. So I would rephrase this and just kind of, instead of saying the board members can't do this, say what the committee, subcommittee people can do. And I think that falls within your authority of your administrative policies. So, as Don said, I think it is highly likely that the new manager is going to want to get familiar with the CAB, and then really think structurally how the CAB can relate to what the PUD does in the most positive way. Mm-hmm. And that there probably will be some changes in scope and stuff, but it'll probably take a little bit of time. And then lastly, under our governance policies adopted by a separate resolution, this is a resolution adopted in 2015, it states that the board can create our own subcommittees, which we could have one or more board members on, we could appoint one or more CAB members on, so there are other working groups that we can form. And I think with all these things, just the question is, what are we trying to accomplish as a PUD? Who are the right people to have around the table and make it so, you know, and then get the reports out that way? But those would be my comments. Just if you're going to have something that, it looks to me like what you're trying to do is provide guidance for CAB members. You get a new member, you can hand them this thing and say, here's how we work. And I would just cite where the language comes from
so
everybody knows.
Good. Appreciate the comments, Jeff. The thought of the subcommittee was that once the CAB approves this, that it would become a recommendation to amend Resolution 2017-17. So that's the thought here. So therefore, once it becomes a resolution, then it becomes
enacted
by the board.
Got it.
Okay. So just not a standalone document.
Okay, but I was unclear on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tom?
Yeah, I had specific comments, two of them. One of them is on that 7H.
7H, okay.
And specifically on the issue of no board member shall formulate written sections of CAB reports. Now, if you really take that literally, if there was a smart leader in a subcommittee and a commissioner said there is no evidence that smart leaders are wildly inaccurate, that could not appear in the report. And I mean, I think that's much too broadly stated. There has to be a way to avoid that kind of nitpicking or.
Good point. Okay.
So that's the one.
So Jeff. Jeff also mentioned that sentence in the second bullet under number H. Okay.
Right, and then also on 8D. As a frequent letter writer, I'm very aware of kind of the 300-word limitation, so I don't have to write any more than I have to. I suggest that the last sentence say, starting with, provided they express in any public communication that they are CAB members, but do not speak on behalf of the CAB. I don't think you need to say the district there, because no CAB member is either a staff member or an elected commissioner, so it doesn't have to say or the district.
And that might be one of the sections out of that resolution 2017. I'll see if I can find it while you guys are.
Okay, Doug, you had a comment on.
Doesn't the leader require? I know the PDN. You're already saying if somebody writes a letter, then they try to identify him and say, he was a fire commissioner, but he's no longer.
The leader doesn't require anything.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it in the leader also.
Leader in general does not require that of a letter writer. The only thing that puts underneath the name is where they live.
Mm-hmm. So what was your comment, Doug, on quorum? Just make sure we get that.
I've been under the impression that a quorum in here was based on as many as seven people, so we want to be cognizant at all times of the ups and downs of the membership and what constitutes a quorum.
So you suggested a change, so let's make sure I make a note of that. Where was that, please?
I think it was 7C. Also, since this is the first time through, my comment would be, would you accept red lines on this to hand in to you either during the month or at the next meeting? As what's being said is the new GM will probably want to look at this, so we have a month or two to put some finesse into this.
Me?
It's all you, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know where to start this. I would like to give a little background. There was a guy and I written by the commissioners, I think, originally. I felt it was really, really bad and very restrictive and had a bunch of errors in it, I felt. And so I rewrote it with working with the CAB. It took us about 5 or 6 months to get it really right and get it improved. And the first one was quite restrictive. The second one was more general, the one I was involved with, trying to open it up and make it. And then here you've made it more restrictive again, so going back to that direction. So I have concern about a number of the restrictions, and I don't know how best to communicate that, whether I should just communicate to the committee, I think the restrictions are unnecessary.
Well, I think this is a good time to lay it out, don't you?
Sure. In this public forum.
Yeah, because we've already gotten some good feedback on it.
All right, let me look at my... Well, the first page, you're under 3, you've written confidentiality. Well, that to me is nonsense, that we're recorded. And were made publicly available to the whole community.
That word jumped out at me, too.
So that word should come out.
Confidentiality?
We're not confidential.
I mean, I'm trying to think if you guys would ever have a confidential conversation. Don, can you think of any situation where the CAB would be...
No, not even in the subcommittee, really. I mean,
where are you seeing that?
Right here.
The last sentence of the number is 3.
Oh, right here. Yeah. Okay, looking right at
it.
I mean, there are confidential things that we get exposed to as commissioners, but that's what's happening in executive session. I can't really think of anything that would fall under your review.
The other thing is, if we're exposed to proprietary data, we need to be sure that we don't talk proprietary information.
Like
the proposals.
Well,
like
unless you're in some kind of confidentiality setting, it's subject to public review.
We made Tom sign one to be part of the executive search, but we'll cut his hands off if he violates.
And as far as I know, this board doesn't have occasion to be in executive session.
No.
No.
So really, would imply, I suppose.
7C, to be simplified, the subcommittee shall consist of no more than 4 CAB members. It seems to be less read language, but it's just say it simpler.
Yeah, but you still have to be aware of the quorum.
Oh, I see.
So it should just say no more than a quorum?
Yeah.
So I was just figuring out how to say that. No more than a quorum of the board.
Five's a quorum.
But then, nine of us, I think it's his point. If the head count changes,
the head count changes, the quorum goes down.
Yeah, so it should be.
But we'll. You got to constitute a quorum of the CAB.
Yeah, should subcommittee shall consist of, shall not consist of a quorum of the chair.
Shall consist of less.
Yeah, not that way. If they decide to expand the chair.
When there's two people, three people, that moves.
Yeah.
And I think based on what we're hearing now is that we do need a statement in there saying that it's best to have a special meeting put up. So somebody from the public wants to come. But then, you know, you've got to have agenda, notes, time, et cetera.
So is the what's the problem we are trying to solve there? Just that people know that if they do have a subcommittee of a quorum, they have to follow all the quorum rules?
They have to follow all the quorum rules.
And is that really the problem? As opposed to us restricting the committee size, is it really?
Subcommittees.
A subcommittee could decide to do something without approval of the rest of the board. And so, but, you know, that would be.
No, they have to bring everything back to here.
So since we're subject to the Open Public Meetings Act, which defines a quorum.
Right.
And if there is a quorum, defines what we have to do in terms of announcing special meetings.
Right.
And that's the simplest thing to do. I do it all the time. Not here, though.
Well, you wouldn't want to basically put a number down because
I think the suggestion of a quorum.
If there is a quorum, then the Open Meetings Act has to be followed.
Right.
Well, correct.
Yeah, and you don't want that for subcommittees. So
that's why we're trying to limit it.
Let them figure out this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good comment. Anything else, Pete?
Well, we got lots more.
Lots more.
Could I comment on that one?
Yeah.
How about subcommittees shall consist of more than one member, but in no case shall consist of more than four?
Four. That covers it, doesn't it?
One-member committee?
Say that again,
right now,
Roger. Subcommittees shall consist.
It's the quorum issue.
It's the quorum issue.
Quorum issue, not the number.
Well, you're trying to state a minimum and a maximum number under this item here.
No.
Well, it just says typically consists of 3K members, which I suppose leaves us open to one if nobody else volunteers.
Do we want to have a subcommittee of one?
That would be.
We could have a subcommittee.
Depends on what you're doing.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, if we say no more than four, it could be one. It could be two.
Use the word quorum and research it, and we'll.
Yeah, okay.
The point of no more than four is a quorum. So why don't we state that?
In your subcommittee,
never more than a quorum.
You need to go over that.
I made that.
And
note.
Don is
that's
a good resource. Are there any other?
So the way I have it written in my notes here is: subcommittee shall consist of no more than four CAB members and not consist of a quorum of the CAB.
You know,
write it down.
Well, that's what I got here in my notes.
Okay. You're going to accept red lines, right?
Sure.
For the next month or two. So incorporate the red lines. Discuss it with the membership of the subcommittee, and if you want to talk to the gentleman down there with the Apple computer, fine. There's Don. You can discuss that with. Go for it. Public. Is there any public?
I think Pete had more.
No, I'm fine with redlining it and just send it. Yeah.
Okay.
If that's what you want to do.
Yeah. They'll get around.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was brought up in the past. I'm not sure that we commonly appear at BLC meetings in excess of a quorum.
Right.
And Tom Tiersch came up with the idea that it simply be announced as a public meeting for the CAB.
We're supposed to be getting a boilerplate letter saying that we may have a quorum for the CAB here. They're not here to do meetings, they're here to advise. The proper wording needs to go in there.
So that's something that Joel's doing for us?
And that'll, every meeting that they have, that will be there. So
I think the question's a good one. You slip it into it.
Yeah, make sure great.
Especially if you're making comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Just occurred to me that it probably would be a good idea for us to run this by the, what's the new?
Joel.
Joel, yeah.
Pays.
Just, you know. Just to be certain.
Well, I think once we get the red lines and kind of get more of a final draft, then that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
And then give the new
And then formulate, once all that's done and the subcommittee finishes its work, then formulate a recommendation that would ultimately become a resolution.
When do you want the red lines by?
End of the month.
4 o'clock.
End of the month, so they can be.
We've got time. The new GM is the end of April, we can accept red lines and then have another presentation of the next draft at the next CAB meeting if you would like.
I'd say that, you know, you can send any red lines you want to us through the listserv, right? And we can be working on them as they come in. I mean, they don't have to all come in at a specific time, right?
Well, it's convenient for us to come to give you a whole bunch of stuff, and then you meet as a committee and talk about it, subcommittee.
So you're not editing the same thing?
Yeah, you might do this. Yeah, you don't want to have to.
So everybody,
if Norm says one thing and I say something different, and then you want to look at both of them at the same time.
So then we give a date that everybody sends their red lines in?
Yep.
So just remember, if you want a completed composite of the red line stuff, it needs to be probably a week
ahead of our
so we can get it in the packet for you.
But for the second.
Set on the web.
Yep.
What's the date of our April meeting?
Yeah. Pretty close.
Nice.
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's on a different. It's on the next subject.
So let's get red lines by the 23rd of March.
Is that the broadband?
No, it's on HC of this.
That's 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks, Pete.
Well, I'm leaving town for a week.
Okay. You know that, so.
23rd.
Yeah.
Okay, we have one more question.
You've already got your red lines, though, right, Pete?
Well, I got to explain them and say why.
Right, okay.
Red lines, you can't use your red lines. This is
putting a little check mark to give you input.
Norm, you have a comment.
Yeah, HC, CAB Communication, CAB should not speak on behalf of the district unless approved by the board. I have done this many dozens of times. When I call looking for information, particularly to another PUD, I identify myself as a member of the Citizens Advisory Board. Is that incorrect? Should that not be done? It seems to have certain authority. I can't.
I would say that if you're
HC,
that's not speaking on behalf of the CAB.
I identify myself on behalf.
As a member of the CAB.
As a member of the CAB, correct. I mean, is that okay?
Well, I think it's okay as long as you just say I'm one member of the CAB.
Yeah,
requesting information.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
A number of times I talked to state archaeologists saying, with the Parks Department. And, oh, by the way, the email that I sent you, it contains the manager name and number, in case you want to check.
So maybe that needs to be that language is directly from the resolution.
Weasel worded somehow.
Weasel worded? What did you say? Weasel worded.
Worded so that it is acceptable, because you're not going to be out there talking to people without identifying yourself.
It's got to show in the minutes now.
Yeah.
Speaking on behalf of something gives an implication. You're actually you're
you're giving somebody the idea that you're directing them on behalf of that organization. When you're just calling to get information and you identify yourself as a member, that's not speaking on behalf of the organization.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
If, on the other hand, the cab says, Norm, we want you to call blah, 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 then you are speaking on behalf of the cab.
You're not speaking policy.
And I would have permission to do so, therefore.
We don't create policy.
We don't create policy.
Mm-hmm. We don't do that.
We can submit recommendations.
It says, unless approved by the board. So if we direct you to, you know, if you come to us and say, hey, I want to call, you know, Mason County.
As long as you're gathering information on behalf of the group and not putting out policy or putting out statements about the PUD, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
As long as you're gathering information to put together,
I wouldn't do that.
You identify yourself, I think it's fine.
Okay. Can I?
What about, let's do public comments.
I got it. Members around the table have to come first.
Yeah, I
know. Just a general comment. Since you, the word board is ambiguous, since there's a citizens advisory board, so it might be better instead of writing board that you write board of commissioners.
What do you mean board of commissioners?
Well, it's standard though for.
I think they handle
all
that
in the documents. The board means board of commissioners. Yeah,
they just call themselves BOC, right?
Well. In the thing here,
in the definition, board. in the first sentence,
hold on,
where it says board of commissioners, parentheses board, that's where, and then therefore, every time else I refer to board, it means board of commissioners. Is that is that acceptable?
Okay, we got to get the meeting going. Dan, you want to
report level? Yeah, section 7. Under the item I think for process and transparency, I think something that might fit into that specific area is in the course of subcommittees, a minority report should also be included so that the public can see that you looked at this from many, many different angles, pro and con. A minority report should be part of a subcommittee's written responsibilities, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For transparency, obviously, that shows if you did the work to look at all the different angles and not just what you found to be the best recommendation, but you looked at other alternatives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that should be part of the written work that gets produced by a subcommittee.
That's a good point.
And that might also lead you to the four people on the committee might add, if you're going to be having to do more work, maybe four people is a smarter number.
Well,
the only thing we're trying to get away from there is the quorum.
Yeah.
Topic.
And quorum. Right. And I'm not trying to reiterate that argument. I'm just saying, you know, that's just something that may work into that other issue as you guys progress with your redlining.
Minority. Okay.
And
I like thank
that.
You.
I like that. Yeah.
I'm a former member of the CAB, but have continued to work on some of the committees.
Right.
And the way I read this, I don't think I could do that in the future.
You are a subject matter expert.
Well, I don't think a lot of the times I'm not a subject matter expert.
I mean, we always thought you were.
I mean, I worked on the community solar. I'm definitely not a subject, any kind of expert on that.
Then you're a public.
I'm sorry?
Then you're a public.
So,
if they wish to accept public comments, that's great.
So, Bill, under that third bullet under H, 7H, if we said subject matter experts or members of the public, I don't know if we want to do that.
Well, then we can do that. That's fine.
Well, the and the
I wouldn't be a voting member.
Correct. Well,
right.
But that's fine with me.
You're just hanging around the subcommittee, giving them advice.
7G is.
Well,
7H.
I'm interested.
I'm talking about 7G.
Next
but 7G also leaves room for your role. You know, it just says, like you just reiterated, not a voting. It was certainly not intended that.
No.
We would not
well,
have.
I'm not in solar.
No, it's not that. We want your help on that.
But,
help on.
Okay.
The Board of Commissioners already
I think it's a little bit ambiguous, but
the Board of Commissioners already authorized you to use folks from the community as resources.
Based on what's written here.
Okay.
First one is Bill here.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
that's the problem. We appreciate it. Sure.
I have a few comments. Going back to your problem of quorum, I noticed that under membership, item 4, there's no definition of how many people there are on the board. It was originally defined as, you know, 3 persons per district, per commissioner district, and I don't see any reason why that shouldn't just be stated. And if you state that, then that resolves the issue of what is important, because that's 5 by definition, which, by the way, not in the Public Meetings Act. It's Robert's rules, if anything, but it's not OPMA. In any case, saying 9, or, you know, 3 per district, and then saying, you know, up to 4 in a subcommittee makes it really clear. You don't have to dance around the word quorum or anything like that.
May I make a comment then? Part of it was that in my 2 years here, mm-hmm. we've had less than 9, even though we're allocated.
Understood.
So that's why we were dropping the.
All Tom's saying is that if we state the number of commissioners or the number of board members right. we have, then that automatically.
But it doesn't, because we don't always have 9.
We don't always have that.
Even though we can have 9.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When somebody resigns and we only have 8, then the quorum drops.
Then what happens to the subcommittee if it's 4? I mean, if it goes down to 7,
then you have to
you excise
have
somebody.
Then we complain to the board.
Yeah. Well, in any case, and I don't see any reason to not state that there should be 3 members per district.
Okay, and then there's also Robert's Rules of Order that says, well, this is a quorum, this is a quorum.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we'll have that. We'll have that.
Okay. Under item 4B, it refers to Section 3A, which doesn't exist.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. Right. I would never caught that
Dang.
Before. Thought we had it nailed. I know what happened, Tom. I know what happened is we put in the code of ethics and values, and then that 3A never got changed.
Under 6F, I would say that allowing for 10 days for recording to be posted is overly generous. I would say 2 days. I think people want to hear what the heck happened, not wait 2 weeks.
So what's the process now?
Hold on.
I don't know what they're talking about.
6F.
6F. So when this recording, what's the process by which this recording, the audio recording, is posted to the district website?
Hold on a minute. That's a CAMI issue, and.
That's not
Mike.
It's not a
county
issue.
It's Will.
Yeah, that's Will.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a staff issue.
Staff issue.
Yeah.
So they'll give us the answer to that.
So, Tom, if we go through Kevin and talk to staff, but your comment about 10 working days is too generous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think both, if you're going to do that, and I agree that you should follow staff direction on that and not make up your own rules about timing, then that 5-day following approval as well as the 10-day number in that paragraph should be struck. It's not within your scope of authority to dictate the timing of the posting and stuff on the website.
Yeah. Okay.
I would consider especially
given that it's a shall.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, that's the strongest legal word you can have. Okay.
And then I found. Where did it go? Oh, yeah. The whole issue of 7 subcommittees.
Yes.
You can also operate as a subcommittee of the whole. Sometimes. There's such thing as under Robert's rules, if the body can be the committee of the whole. It's just one of those weird things. If you want to say that you don't do that, that's fine. But that's what the rules allow for. Right?
But then we're into the special meeting notice.
Well, then it's clearly a subject to the Open Public Meetings Act.
Right.
It's just something that's allowed.
Yeah.
And then on the subcommittees, in terms of what Bill mentioned, the voting or participation in subcommittees of non-CAF members, there's quite a bit in there. And I agree, it does suggest that non-CAF members really shouldn't be participating in subcommittee work in any way. And so it just struck me as you might want to sort of find a way to soften that.
Okay.
I mean, I understand that you invite input from
or they could decide that's the way you want to do it.
They could.
Well, that's fine.
On the low income, we did have staff, and we did have people from the respective organizations in those meetings, but it was still the three of us.
And they weren't voting members. And they would be ex officio members?
You might want to think about it.
Okay, good.
The last thing I wanted to say about this general policy is in several places it refers to, and you're saying you want to defer action on it until the general manager comes on board. I just want to point out CAF is a creation of the board. It is a committee of the board. It is not a committee of the management. There are administrative committees, and there are governance-created committees. And this committee was created as subsidiary to the Board of Commissioners. So for you to say that you want to take direction from the general manager on tasks and work to be done, I think it's a mistake. I don't think you want to do that. I think you should take direction only from the board and report only to the board. That's how it started. If you want to change that, that's fine, but that's what I'm reading into this, and I don't think it's a good direction.
So if I could just follow up on what Tom said, I think that's a good clarification. And what I presume will happen is the manager, amongst all the different things he's doing, will be to come to some CAB meetings. And following that, the CAB is an animal set up by the board. He would have to come to the board and say, I have the following recommendations for how we would like to use the CAB differently. So I think that's a very good clarification. He could not come in and just change things on his own.
Good point. Gentleman here?
Yeah, just I guess mostly related to Section 8, which is communications between subcommittees and staff. An interesting comment, and Roger made it, that we want to contact somebody outside and identify yourselves as part of the CAB for PUD. But you could perhaps be contacting people that staff is contacting. And so there needs to be maybe some level of communication. Let's say CenturyLink. You may go out and contact CenturyLink to try and get some information, but then we know Kevin is also has a dialogue with maybe even the same people at CenturyLink. And that can cause some confusion with the people you're trying to contact. I'm not sure if you can codify that or not, but it's just something you need to, you know, have kind of an open line of communication with staff. Yeah. So that you don't have any conflicts like that.
Thank you. And we do have, during other comments, a little paragraph on that.
So
it tries to cover that.
Any other comments? Okay, so we're going to go back and redline, and most all of the members need to participate in the redline process.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They can if they want.
Yeah.
Well, all the members should
have liked it.
Yes. Okay. So, next subject is broadband strategies, subcommittee report.
Yes, and we did not write up a report because we don't have enough to report on. Mm-hmm. So, this is just a quick update where we last left off with this group. We made a presentation that got presented to the Board of Commissioners in the consent agenda. And so, therefore, we're operating off of kind of the last page of that that's already been put in public record. Mm-hmm. It talks about what we think our next steps are that include closer partnership with the PUD and specific district staff with regard to what we're doing with broadband and what the district is doing with broadband, researching county and community solutions, refining cost models, learning from proof of concepts, and testing the interests of other agencies. That was on that last page of that presentation. So since that occurred, since we talked to you here and we got approval, since we got the approval through the consent agenda, we're starting to take action on these steps. We have had a meeting with Kevin, and Ken joined us. Ken Collins joined us at that meeting. to try to figure out how do we collaborate and are we working towards similar goals and so forth. I think the outcome of that meeting was positive, and the outcome of that meeting was that it's going to be valuable to have more ISP discussions. So here's PUD providing backbone, and here's communities that want broadband, and it sounded like maybe one good outcome from that is reinforcing this idea that we and the district in our own ways will have ISP conversations and learn more through those internet service providers. I don't think I need to go through a lot more. We're continuing to look at the different little proof of concept things that are coming up in communities. So we've always known Maristone's act has an active community. There are two potential active communities on Maristone, and there are a couple of other communities that are starting to talk about, gee, maybe we can do something ourselves, fund it ourselves, and then have the PUD help by getting us plugged into backbone. And just like having the gentleman here from the county, we'll start and continue to have conversations with some other agencies to see where there is also a passion or an interest in expanding broadband. So we're continuing down on all those paths. Do either one of you want to add to that?
No, that's good.
Any questions?
I will say it's a difficult and broad project.
Yeah.
And so we'll just keep plugging away.
Requires tenacity.
That's right.
Perseverance.
Yeah. But the feedback from the BOC was positive. Okay. And no questions? PUD credit card use policy subcommittee report?
I'll speak to that issue. Larry Denson and I started looking into this issue a while ago, kind of spurred by the idea that most governmental agencies only let you use a credit card if you pay a convenience fee. That's true with the Treasury Department of the United States if you want to pay your income tax with a credit card. It's true at the state level if you want to pay your vehicle license fee with a credit card. It's true at the county level if you want to pay your real estate tax with a credit card. It's true at the city level in Port Townsend where if you want to pay with a credit card, you have to pay a convenience fee of, I guess, $3.95. So we looked into the possibility of doing this here and worked with Tammy Lehman, who had assistance from NISC, the billing agency that the BUD works with. And it turned out there were some interesting hurdles to get over in order to impose a convenience fee. Not surprisingly, credit card companies are not in favor of this. Because they would like you to use your credit card, and the convenience fee might hinder you in doing so. So it turns out that some credit card companies would let a utility use a convenience fee, impose a convenience fee without increasing the rate, but Visa does not, and it turns out that 75% of all the credit card payments made to the BUD go over Visa. The other issue is Tammy tells me there are laws which say that you cannot institute a convenience fee if the customer is impairing in person to make a payment, or if they make a recurring payment, meaning that they have given the credit card information to the PUD and the PUD automatically bills it every month. So those two categories, you cannot charge a convenience fee.
And Tom, can I offer an update on that?
Yeah.
Because I read that report. I thought that was odd, and I emailed Tammy before the meeting, and I said, can you cite the state law that says that? And her response was that actually it's not state law. It's actually an agreement that we have with NISC and what they have with credit card companies. So basically, and it's, she sent a rather long email, but I forwarded it to you and Larry because you're the only people on the subcommittee. Mm-hmm. You may want to take another look at what she's saying here because it sounds like it's part of our arrangement with NISC, which is different than saying it's a state law.
Well, that's good to hear, because what she wrote me in an email was that it was...
Exactly. Law. She said that, and then she clarified, no, it's not state law.
Okay, so so basically, with Visa, if you weren't impose a convenience fee, they would double the rate that they charge from 1% to 2%. So there's a...
Somehow that's legal.
Usury, is that the word you're looking for?
No, that's any extortion.
So thanks, Jeff, for your clarification. So right now then, as we're set up, that you could basically, you could, if you were to impose a convenience fee, you could only impose it on less than a majority of those customers now paying with a credit card. And so this, there's no equitable way then to charge everyone a credit card fee if you can only charge a minority of these people a convenience fee. So currently, the I'll jump ahead and say, so our recommendation at this point is not to change the current policy and simply allow people to charge, pay their bills with a credit card. And anybody who occasionally uses their credit card to collect mileage for airlines and so forth would be well served then to keep in the future pay their PUD bills with a credit card. Now currently there's 4,000 customers a month doing this, and if we said at some point, well, what if almost everybody did, say, let's get that up to 16,000 or something like that, then suddenly the PUD would be paying $25,000 a month for credit card fees. And you know, a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, pretty soon you're talking about real money. And so at that point, you know, it might be wise to think about how do other people do it. And clearly other agencies manage to do quite well with this. You know, the city port, like I pay my bills to the city of Port Townsend Water Utility, and they don't allow credit a card payment without a convenience fee. So there are obviously workarounds that one could do. It's a question, this does not seem like a high enough priority at this point in the history of the young PUD to totally reform everything. And so at this point, our recommendation to you would be to just leave it as it is. But to keep in mind that in the future, this might be an appropriate issue to revisit.
I'll just say, you know, what didn't the number add up to $72,000 a year? What's the per month fee? Was it $6,000 a month, $72,000 a year? That's your conservation energy specialist.
Right.
And I have had a few conversations with the finance folks about it, and I think they see it as a tool when they have a customer at the counter. You know, if they give you a check, the check might bounce. They're giving you a credit card, it's covered. So I think they use it as a tool. It helps make sure people are really paying. And I think they think it's just the cost of doing business. But, you know, I think it's worth exploring more. And I did ask Tammy, are we required to allow credit cards? So, for example, you know, one workaround might just be, sorry, you know, cash or check. And then you're not dealing with it at all. And she said, no, there's no state law that says we have to accept credit cards. But it appears to be part of our arrangement with NISC, and it's, you know, if you wanted to get into it more, I think it's probably a little complicated, but, you know, looking at our relationship with NISC and if there's any way.
Yeah, and I would say also, my conversation with Cammy, I specifically asked, are bounced checks or bad credit cards a problem? And she said, no, in neither case is this a problem.
Mm.
So it doesn't seem like a strong motivating force.
Is NISC going to, as far as you know, going to be our billing system for the foreseeable future?
We paid, I think it was like $250,000 to get invested in it. My understanding is we're a member of it. So because we're a member of it, we get access to all the stuff they develop. It's a co-op-owned organization.
To those good deals like the credit card deal they made?
Yeah, possibly. But it's you know, it's a publicly owned membership organization. It's kind of the state-of-the-art financing software. When I talk to other PUDs and they say this is what they've got, like, oh, you got the good stuff. So it is well thought of.
Other PUDs are standing in line like we were to get access to NISC.
Yeah.
It also helps drive things like the storm, you know, stuff that we use, and we can tell work crews are working and we can see where the outages are. So it links into a lot of things. The main thing it links
into. So it's mainly just a data system.
Well, it allows us to properly report to RUS every year. It categorizes our expenses, so it's an awesome tool, and it sounds like it works well with other things that we do. But but you know, could we somehow, you know, is this the final word? I wouldn't take it as the final word. I would poke around
well,
a little
especially
bit.
Especially if you're a member of.
Yeah, you know, just ask members. A little bit more.
Yeah, because you know, like Tom said, almost every other level of government does it.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously either they're getting really ripped off by Visa or it doesn't apply in their case.
Oftentimes people have more than one credit card. So, you know, someone says, oh, the Visa, you're going to get it paid. Oh, well, let me whip out the MasterCard one then, or the whatever, yeah. You know.
So anyway, I guess what I'm hearing is we're still on the table, but just not in super...
It's complicated, but anyway, I forwarded that email to you, so if you guys want to take it further, you are welcome to.
Well, I mean, that's an open question. Maybe you should ask the board. I mean, do you want Larry and me to work on this issue any further?
Is that a motion?
What would be the outcome if we said no? Would it be that this is the recommendation for the time being and that you would ask for that recommendation to go to the board?
I don't even know if we have to make a recommendation. Yeah. We're not changing anything.
No,
I mean, just the report. I guess I should say so the report would go as is to the board. Is that what the outcome
would
be?
Well, I would have to rewrite this about it because what we've said about state law is not true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because only one thing comes up for me, and that is kind of related to what you said, Jeff. If there is a cost to taking non-credit card payments, it'd be useful, I think, to have that information also as part of this report that we're weighing. A 2% against whatever it costs for us to process checks and cash and all those other things that
you know. I asked staff to do that, and they said that was too complicated. They couldn't easily do that. I mean, if somebody walks up to the desk, you know, how do you apportion the fraction of the time that person at the desk is earning to that cost of right?
I wonder if there's any general studies. I would think many companies go through the same exact question. And that there might have been somebody that before us that studied that aspect of it, that, you know, everybody has to make that decision. My little tiny company had to make that decision, and I don't even advertise that we take credit cards because it costs me 3%. I will take them if somebody asks me to take them, but I don't offer it up, and I don't have any way around that. And I think big companies that have lots of customers like the PUD have probably already studied it.
Yeah. And the company I worked for, we didn't take credit cards, and we never lost a sale. Everybody would try it. Can I put this on my credit card? And it would have been big money, you know, because it was like more than $1 million a year, and then you take 3% of that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But
You know, I think
for us,
I can see both sides of this. You know, I think it's great to offer to our customers that option. So because lots of people do a lot of their own personal accounting that way, you know, they want it all to be credit card.
Yeah. You'll even notice on the bill that's the only thing that's in color, the little credit card logos. So let me just ask again: is there anybody who wants us to study this issue further? I'm not making a motion. I'm asking if there is interest in the board in pursuing this further or not.
What about the option of just not accepting credit cards at all? Have you looked at that?
So,
I mean, it sounds like you want them to study it more and include
that
as an option.
Well, your comment, Jeff, that it adds up to $72,000 a year
now,
you know, of lost revenue to the PUD, which is one staff person.
Yeah, not one of our more expensive staff
people, right.
But yeah, that's probably
an office person.
Almost cover the person we would hire to run the conservation. It's not insignificant.
Does anybody else want to make a comment?
When I started with the CAB, wasn't there a report that showed different PUDs and their credit card charging policies? Are they not part of NISC? Is that how they do that?
In the email that I got, and probably this comes through NISC via Tammy, there's only a minority of PUDs that don't accept credit cards. It's a pretty small number. Most PUDs accept them. Probably because that's an NISC rule.
Okay. Public has a comment?
I would just say that in general, this is something that needs to be run by the public when you start talking about not taking credit cards as an entity. That's going to be a can of worms that you better do some research before you start floating that out there, because my wife will be the first one calling you. Want to know, or calling the commissioner or whoever, as to what the heck are you guys doing. So,
mine too.
Just a word of warning. Some outreach first might be a good idea.
You're talking about if the PUD were to say no credit card,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. The last thing I heard floating out there. So,
yeah.
A word to the wise.
But I mean, that's quite different than a convenience fee.
No, you're right. I was speaking specifically to...
Tell your wife that the committee did not even consider
that. Hold on.
Yeah, so just on the one particular thing of what if we did, the question or answer was, what if we just didn't accept credit cards? I would say that particular thing is what I'm speaking to.
You have some, sir?
I had a question and a comment. Well, first of all, NISC serves 11 million customers, so they've got a bit of clout.
Yeah.
In how they set their policies.
Yeah.
And I think it's 11 states. It's a lot of utilities. I had a question about the report. There was a phrase in there, utility fee. I didn't know what that was.
It's the fee that a credit card company charges a utility.
Oh, it's specific to utilities?
It's like a transaction fee, so it sounds like they would call us something else. If we did a convenience fee, they would charge us a different fee. They would consider us a different category of customer.
They charge a lower rate for utilities?
Possibly, yeah.
They do. I mean, 1% is pretty low.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's good. Okay, thank you. And then if and or when the no credit card policy is ever considered, if there's an ACH substitute, that's fine. If not, I don't know.
What's ACH?
Automatic clearinghouse. It's just electronic transfer between your bank and the entity. And it's a no fee transfer. That's how I pay my property taxes, for example.
So I actually have a comment as well, because I think Tom's, I've dealt with this in other businesses I've had, and that ACH is the way to go. It's sometimes free or sometimes a very minimal charge, and anyone who signed up for our online payment service could do that instead of a credit card. So we could figure out ways to incentivize them. But I've wondered overall about, in this regards, you know, how much money would we save in the credit card versus ACH, and then how much money do we save versus online payment versus payments through the mail and that whole system, and why are we, would it be cost effective for us to make a big push to get everybody to sign up for Smart Hub or a certain percentage, and I wanted to know that for a while, and that would be a great project for the next CFO to undertake a cost analysis of all those things with your guys' input and communication, because it could be that, you know, just moving to more paperless could save us more than that credit card fee.
So, Tom, I'm going to suggest, just from my perspective, to inactivate the credit card subcommittee until which time the new CFO comes on board, and then maybe pick up that discussion with that person.
Okay, so why don't we withdraw this draft report at this point and just see where it goes down the line. Is that acceptable?
It's fine with me.
Oh, sure. Do you want to...
Do I see PUD blockchain developing?
What?
Yeah, we're going to go into the blockchain business.
Would you be willing?
PUD credit card, so we make the 3%.
There you go.
Hold on, Tom.
Like Cabela's or something.
You're right now suggesting we put this on hold, which is not a problem.
Yeah.
But would you be willing to look at these other forms of payments and the cost?
I think that makes sense.
I think Will's comments were right on that. I mean, we would need somebody to look at the costs for these various options, and then we can discuss them and compare them, but this is not information we can easily get on our own.
Okay.
So when the new CFO is there, if the general manager were willing to have us do that, we could sit down with that person and try to see how to go further.
Yeah, and the committee wasn't, I mean, it was formed to look at credit cards, but more specifically to figure out how to avoid those costs, and if we can find alternatives, then you know, right, we can call it the credit card and ACH committee.
The cost recovery committee.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
So would you be willing to go ahead and look at these other forms of payments? Probably in concert with the BOC and staff, would that be acceptable to you?
That would be acceptable. It's just a timeline is uncertain. It shouldn't. Nothing can happen until we get a new CFO.
Right, and this is 3 or 4 or 5 months out to do a final report. So it gives you. Would give you plenty of time.
That's fine. Yeah, we can.
Okay. Yeah, so it is fine because basically our report would be to not do anything.
Yeah. Okay. So
now,
at this point,
the motion before us is continue the credit card use.
Wait a second. Do we have a motion on the table?
I'm writing the motion. Writing the motion so that we know what the motion is. Okay. Continue credit card use investigation. But expand to other forms of payment pending general manager, future general manager input.
CFO.
CFO.
Not general
manager. Okay.
Chief financial officer.
Inputs. Does that say what we want you to do?
I think so. Essentially, you're asking to expand the scope of the inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Get to look at other information
yeah.
so we can deal
yeah.
with it.
Yeah. And we're not putting a time limit on it because of the...
We don't know when this year.
Yeah, we don't
so
know
when.
So, okay, so it's continue credit card use investigation, but expand to other forms of payment pending CFO inputs. That's the motion before us.
New CFO. New CFO.
Well, I don't think we have any.
We don't have one.
Well, we do have one, but she's a contract. In a contract CFO.
Yeah. So that's the motion.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. And I forget the exact words that I'm supposed to say now, but all in favor?
Aye.
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 Against?
That's right.
So that's it. So.
So
there. Is that it? Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Next is community solar update.
The community solar met a week ago last Friday, and having nothing new to report, and having no meetings planned, we decided to disband. And that was the announcement I wanted to make, and that's all I had to say.
We updated the report with our suggestions, and
we submitted the report
to the board
right?
last.
20th.
At the last meeting.
February 20th.
The meeting of February 20th, that's right. That's all I had to say.
Okay. Now let that go. So, you were satisfied with that particular report that went before the BOC on the 20th?
Oh, yeah, that was our report.
Okay, that was your report?
Yes.
And you feel that that is sufficient and that you want to disband the subcommittee?
We didn't see a way forward at this point. And so, yeah, we don't have any meetings planned or any more reports planned.
Okay, so solar, community solar is in the hands of the PUD then?
We have no subcommittee at this point, no.
Okay, so you want to disband?
Mm-hmm. Do we need a formal process for that? Seeing as we're just volunteers, I thought we could just disband.
let's discuss that because, let's discuss that.
It's kind of like the guys wanting to leave the Alamo. Can we just leave?
No, guys. Okay. Pete, you have the floor.
Well, it seems to me that the subcommittee doesn't need to disband abruptly. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some process that occurs with the commissioners, whether there's action on this or not. We ought to know what's going to happen in the future, and the committee may be called back to life again. The committee could just be on hold.
Dick, can I provide an update?
Yes, sir.
So the situation's a little complicated right now, and this does come back to the board's focus on the general management hiring process. So there's this community solar stuff has been percolating along, and at one point the board directed staff to investigate the feasibility of community solar at the Kearney Street site. Mm-hmm. And staff has started that process, and they've reached out, I think, to Power Trip Energy and some other solar contractors, and they've reached out to the city about the permitting process to go through there, and I think they're hoping to get back from those two sources, the solar consultants and the city, how much usable power could go on that site and maybe come up with some cost estimates. And Roger, the subcommittee's report brings up Grant Street. And one of my other hats, I was the volunteer for the school bond for Grant Street, and I sat on the Grant Street design committee for the school district. And earlier last week, I did my first walkthrough of the new school. And the stage they're at right now is they're doing rough-in electrical. And as part of the design process, we wanted the roof to be suitable for solar power. However, one of the things the school did, and they kind of got boxed into an issue on the type of roofing, there's going to be a membrane roof on that building, which means you've got built-up insulation on top of subroofing, and you've got this plastics-type roof that's supposed to last 25, 50 years or something. To put solar on those kind of roofs is tricky, and you usually have to surgically cut them open, put the solar on, put the attachments on, call the roofing company back. They seal it up again because the warranty is through a particular roofing company, not just any roofing company. And that will add a significant expense to putting solar on that building, but it still may be worth it because if you put them on the ground, you've got, you know, additional expense too. The roof is typically cheaper, and it's possibly cheaper even with that membrane roof. And I am planning to meet, again, this is not my PUD hat, but just me individually and my the connections I have in the solar world, just to make sure that that school can do solar, that we've got the electrical in the electrical equipment room, that there's room for stuff, that we're not going to be, as a community, prohibited from putting solar on that school if at some point the community says, let's do community solar. Because it is a big roof, it's sunny, it should work. So I am working with them, not as a PUD commissioner, but to determine that and try and work with the school district so those steps are available. But in terms of where the board is on community solar, we've directed staff to look at Kearney Street, and that's where that is right now. And just circling back a little bit to the governance policies, for me, this is an example where I think it's important to work together as a board and work with your assigned staff person. Because the way that one came up, it was awkward for us in that meeting to have that report coming and then the other work with staff. So I think just, you know, working with Dawn, as long as Dawn is your staff person. And then if you know you've got a board member who's interested in it, you can always call me or call the appropriate board member for the broadband issue, talk to Ken if it's some other issue with the commissioner, talk to that commissioner, just to make sure we're working in a coordinated manner, because it doesn't look good, you know, if we look like we're going in two different directions as an organization. But I think the intent of the subcommittee is a good intent, and I would agree that I would like to see solar on every one of our schools eventually, but we're, you know, trying to pull the first one off right now. That's all I have to say.
Does that
go ahead?
You go ahead.
My understanding of what we approved at the last CAB meeting was that this would be an example solar project, and I don't believe it got presented that way at the Board of Commissioners meeting. Nothing against.
I think it said something to that effect.
Did it? Okay.
Okay. Tom?
Is it appropriate to mention what went on in Ellensburg?
Oh, yeah. You can mention what went on in Ellensburg.
Well, in, it's just the financial aspects of the community solar do deserve some attention. And in Ellensburg, my understanding is that they created a community solar and found that paying individual people or somehow parceling out their benefit from the solar to a large number of individuals was consuming enough overhead that they decided to essentially buy out all of the investors, and it just became a PUD or utility solar. So, I mean, these are things that are well worth looking into, the financial model, before any concrete steps.
And this is our new manager coming from Ellensburg. Ellensburg had the first community solar project in the United States, and they did it before there were even any incentives. So people were only getting like 5 cents a kilowatt hour off their power bill, and they signed up for it.
Wow.
And Larry's comment is that, and it's called virtual net metering when you do that. And in the industry, it sounds really cool, but Larry's comment on it was a pain. And they chose as an organization just to buy out the people who had it. So I think he will have his own opinions on community solar and how we do it. So he'll bring his own experiences. But at the same time, I think he gets that our community wants to do things that generate local power. And these disasters, I mean, one of the things I attended I did have my PUD hat on in this one, I think. There was an emergency management meeting at the fire hall, and it's called the J-PREP group. And it's basically the fire commissioners, county emergency management, fire district personnel from Clallam and Jefferson counties. And they talked about a bunch of important takeaways from the Puerto Rican hurricane. And they had one of their members went down there, and they had photos from 5 months after the hurricane. And it was pretty eye-opening, you know, about what happened. And then they talked about the worst-case scenario here, which is the big earthquake, you know, and that would be different damage, but on an even worse scale, they think. And I've heard Roger talk about this, but they said, you know, this idea of a microgrid is something that's gaining more and more attention, because you could be without power for many, many months, up to a year or longer. And this idea of if you could have microgrids around some of your critical facilities where you've got solar plus storage, it could be really valuable. So I think in the past, utilities have kind of poo-pooed the microgrid thing, but it seems to be coming up from other sources and places, and it's something that could potentially be combined with community solar. So it's not just about the money, it's about the functionality of what this could do in your community.
Self-reliance.
Nice.
Any more CAB member comments?
I'd like to make a comment. I was uncomfortable with how the conversation unfolded around community solar at the Board of Commissioners, and I think one thing I hope for out of governance, and I don't think governance necessarily is going to fix it, but I hope that we figure out a way on various projects to communicate more with the Board of Commissioners and with the district, for a number of reasons, all obvious reasons, but and I really appreciate having a commissioner here in our meetings, and I hope that that's a conduit to what the board is thinking, so that when we are sitting here talking about subcommittees, we're sort of getting a sense of, well, has something already been assigned to someone in the district, and what was already assigned to someone in the district, you know, so because I think that's a useful conduit to provide that communication. So I felt badly that how it unfolded, and I felt badly for Roger. I felt like he was attacked in that meeting a little bit. hopefully that isn't how things turn out in the future, because I think it would kill our passion to do some of these projects. And at the same time, I think on our side, we have to make sure that we take our reports, and if we, you know, if they need to be fine-tuned differently, that we're doing that, and that they're put in the right part of the agenda. There's a lot of things about this one that just brought up stuff for me that made me interested to be part of governance, but more on a larger scale, I'm more interested in us doing things that are valuable and being treated in a valuable way by our partners. And I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I just felt like I had to say something.
I think it's worth some, you know, some revisiting or venting or just sharing about. That was a hot meeting. That was a hot meeting. And one takeaway was, you know, never surprise the board. And we felt a little surprised by that one. And one thing we've done to try and fix that is, instead of the CAB being on consent agenda, it will now be under discussion, so that there can be a presentation if there's questions, if there's something the CAB members want to say. And so now that we've opened up that communication conduit, then this may shock you, but the Board of Commissioners don't always agree on things. And when that happens, there can be crossfire going on between the board. You know, so if we're pretending like these are the board members, we could be shooting at each other a little bit, or trying to figure out, we had a contentious issue, we're resolving it, and it's kind of like Clash of the Titans. You don't want to get in the middle of that. And that one kind of, unfortunately, kind of stumbled into it. And I was accused as having written that report, which I had never even seen before. So, I mean, it was just some odd stuff that was going on in that meeting that, you know, and that happens sometimes. You know, it's not, you're not blaming anybody.
Well, people
just,
out in the audience don't realize that you guys don't talk to each other except
you can't talk to
meetings.
Each other, yeah. So, I mean, when that stuff happens, you just, when you have a disagreement among board members, you just kind of have to let us work it out, you know. And then it was unfortunate, I agree, as to how the CAB kind of got caught in the crossfire. And hopefully making it a regular discussion item will help. And then I think also, too, with the committee and staff, never try and make sure that you're not surprising the board. You know.
Just off of that, though, one of the things that you might consider that will help everybody is, if you're going to do a rewrite, don't have that rewrite go directly back to the commissioners. Have it come back to the CAB, and then you folks take a relook at it before it comes back. That way it protects the people who are giving the presentation, and it also gives the board a chance to debate, you know, the product before it was back to review by the board. Just an idea.
Good, that's good input.
Okay. Phil.
You know, I wrote this report, and at the last CAB meeting it was discussed, and we didn't know that the commissioners had instructed the PUD to start working on this. But at the last meeting, no one, including the commissioner who was here, said anything about that. Or if they did, I didn't understand what they meant. I don't always understand what this commissioner is saying. And we did modify it in response to what Karen says. So, for example, we say, as a first source of goal, we lay out the parameters of a project that the PAD may wish to consider. So we did try to do that. Yeah. And incidentally, the version that was posted on the website in the materials for this meeting is not the later version, but the regular version that you guys saw last week.
Yeah, I think it's a chance for the, as it's on the internet, but it just wasn't included in this package.
This package, the one in this, which was there, is the correct one. Yeah.
So, yes. And so I would still ask the question, is there something this group can do that's of value to solar? Because it's an important topic, and maybe the answer is wait for the GM.
I think the answer will be yes. Because if we do roll out a community solar project, what I've seen is there's a lot of marketing that goes in it, a lot of public outreach, and I think getting, you know, you folks are, one of your roles is intended to be representatives of the public, a cross-section of the public, and whatever we come up with, we'd want to share it with you and get your feedback on, does this seem compelling? Would this interest you in participating? So I think there definitely will be something. It's not, I would say it's probably not the top, one of the top three priorities that the GM is going to be dealing with, but I'd say it's probably in the top six that he will be dealing with this year. So I think it will be coming back once we kind of get ourselves settled a little more.
Okay. Did you want to say something, Pete?
Yeah, this is sort of aside. That is there interest in the CAB looking at emergency preparation, which part of it should be a microgrid project? I mean, this is a very technical thing. It involves a lot of stuff, but is that something long-term that's of interest?
It would be of interest to me, but I can imagine it being somewhat contentious.
It's difficult because if you look at some of the larger utilities, they're using generating sources that can put out enough amp to help run a substation. Well, if you look at organizations like Puget, it's natural gas. So you've got to have some source of energy there that can get up and fire things up. That would be the challenge here, I think. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's going to be
yeah.
A
challenge.
That's the detail. That's a part of it.
And also, I mean, everything I've read about microgrids have a storage component.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I can imagine that, you know, we could store BPA power as well as. But the idea of a microgrid kind of takes you out of that, like what happens if the line gets cut at the dam.
Or we lose Fairmont.
Yeah.
Both transmission lines are down.
Anyway.
Okay, anyway. Any more comments from here?
Well, not on that point, but on the previous discussion.
Hold on a minute here.
I'm
previous discussion,
about the,
no.
So about
credit
the,
card?
No, the community solar.
Oh, but go ahead. We're
not
still
this question about.
Right,
the,
we kind of got off the.
Yeah. So, but it's not directly that, but it's specific to what happened in that previous meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole discussion about we need communications between ourselves, the PUD, as well as the board.
Yeah.
And it's been clear to me since that last meeting and what's happened since then that the commissioner that attended that meeting was not willing to share his input with us at that time, but felt more open to do it in another public meeting.
Okay.
And didn't let us know that there was this other activity going on. So
yeah.
Your comment about, well, there's different personalities that are says, yeah, but if he's got an agenda and mm-hmm. he's coming to our meetings and going to, mm-hmm. you know, set us up, basically, to put something in front of the full board that isn't appropriate or isn't correct.
That's right.
That's a concern.
Under next steps or additional board action, I have a comment to make at that point.
Poor Dan over here looks like he's trying to touch the scene.
Before you move on.
We're still on community solar.
Okay. Because you were going to next step, so.
Well, no, I was just saying on the next step, I have a comment to make.
Just for an FYI, for the subcommittee, if they're going to start to work on a community solar, microgrids and smart grids, you need AMI technology, I think, if I'm not mistaken, to make those things go. So take that into account of where the board is with that particular issue before you get you're spinning your wheels too hard, too far. So, but it's your time.
Mm-hmm. We don't even have wheels yet.
we don't have steel.
You have a comment, sir?
I did. Looking at the whiteboard, we were just talking about the comp plan. Imagine if in the comp plan it had been required that public buildings be constructed such that they could accommodate community solar or solar projects. Mm-hmm. Something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay.
We really missed it.
I was just going to say that you know, Jeff made the point about, you know, Jefferson County being a unique county, people are excited about community solar. I was confused to why it was presented as an either or, is that Grant Street or Kearney? Because to me, it seems like a perfect thing for the CAB would just to be to look at 5, 10 years of community solar. We could do it all over the place. I think it's going to be met with lots of enthusiasm, and it would be great to have it looked at in that way and incorporate the microgrids and the whole thing. And just so you guys know, Russ Miller, who's a staking engineer and used to work for a solar company and solar down in Portland, and I are heading to Mason 3 on Friday to talk with their community solar folks just to go over kind of how they implemented within the company, how they did the outreach, how they did the billing and things like that, and get some feedback, report back for the Kearney project.
Good. So you could ask them about the costs of all the administrative costs.
Right.
Sending,
yeah, all those questions, yeah.
So from what I get from the discussion here, community solar power project isn't going to go away. And we need to go forward with it, taking into account what we've heard here, to come up with a comprehensive...
I would say rather than take the lead on it, I'd say stand by. I think you'll be involved, but it'll be involved more where... The board right now is directing staff on, so the board and staff are working on this rather than you guys jumping in and trying to also grab the reins and lead. Let us let you know how you can help rather than jumping in and
I agree.
That's what I would say.
Okay. So
we'll be coming back to you.
The solar power is still there.
Absolutely.
It's going to be on the agenda. Maybe 2 or 3 months from now, or 2 months, or something?
I'm not sure how quickly we'll get to it.
TBD.
Again, it depends on...
Yeah.
Larry's going to get here April 23rd if we get the contract signed this week, which I'm working very hard on.
Okay.
And I think that'll be one of the things we talk about fairly early.
Okay.
And getting back to Tim's comment, I think this is... It's just organizationally, organizations need to work at communication and processes and things, and hiccups happen, and I hope that this is just something that we all can learn from. And maybe see the signs earlier that something is amiss, and maybe try and head it off a little bit before it kind of blows up like a hand grenade in a meeting, which has kind of happened.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So solar power is still with us. It may have to lie low for a while, but no problem. Out of the February 20th BOC meeting, I came back with a couple of recommendations, and some of this we've been...
I'm sorry, are you moving on to next steps?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we're going on to next steps.
So did we bring closure? I mean, because Roger started this by saying he wanted to disband, and I wonder, I think, are we now saying we want to put it on hold and kind of wait until... Is that an outcome that we want to bring? Like, do we need to...
Some
future
date,
like,
you might
want to
do that, yeah.
Yeah. Do we need to do anything formal about?
We didn't vote on. We didn't vote on killing the subcommittee. If
you don't need a subcommittee to kill.
So we just put the whole topic on hold.
Take my
word
for it.
Okay. Point of order. Are you saying that there is no longer a subcommittee on the solar
I believe
project?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So there needs to be a motion made to that effect.
Okay, I'll move that we disband the solar
subcommittee.
It was just solar subcommittee, not
community solar.
Yeah. Okay. Community solar subcommittee. We can always put it back together.
Reinstated at a future date when necessary.
Yeah.
What
That's my
think?
Motion.
Is that correct?
Hold on.
Can you reread the motion, please?
Yep, hold on. You only write so fast. Okay, the way I heard it is that disband the community
solar
subcommittee to be reinstated at a future date as necessary. There was a sub...
That's it.
There was a semicolon there.
I didn't hear a semicolon.
Is there a motion? that's the motion that I heard.
with from Larry. Is there a second?
I second it.
Roger seconded. Was there any discussion?
Yeah, I see. You know, there's obviously going to be community solar. That's an active issue with the commission, with the board of commissioners, and we ought to have somebody following that and working on it. And so I would like to have some coordination with the commissioners on this project. And it seems to me that people can resign from a committee, but there ought to be there needs to be something ongoing here. And I'm not sure what's the issue for wanting to dismantle the subcommittee.
Well, it sounds like Roger's burnt out, which I don't blame him.
No, it's all right.
And it also sounds to me like, at any rate, that the board is going forward with one that apparently had been in the hopper for a long time. And it also sounds like the one that was recommended by the subcommittee really isn't.
It's not there yet. We're trying to get it in a position where it can be an available project, and so it's not like Kearney Street's sitting there. It's ready to go. We own it. To do Grant Street, we'd have to lease the roof. We have a lot of things to go through, and the building's not even built yet, and we don't know what its capacity is. So.
And there like are a lot of other sites that could be. So, you know, I can see the necessity for having a committee, but we don't have anybody on it now.
To the motion.
This is a question for Jeff. Jeff, if the board decided that the CAB should continue to study the community solar project or the whole issue around community solar, that would come from the board to the CAB again,
sure.
Correct?
Sure.
Okay, so at that point, then, the committee would be officially reinstated.
Yeah, and I guess additionally, I mean, Don is a lot of you guys are at our meetings, and sometimes you're not all there, and Don's at every one of them. So as this community solar thing continues to develop, I would expect that Don can keep you posted on what's going on.
I'm happy to do that or have somebody in here to brief you.
And any individual who wants to contact me and find out what's going on either with Grant Street or anything else can talk to me too. I think Kevin's taking the lead on the Kearney Street side.
So
I'm afraid I have to go. I have to pick up my son.
Yeah, okay, so any discussion, future discussion, comes under can be reinstated at a future date as necessary.
Yeah.
So that's the motion. Is there a second?
There was a second.
Roger had seconded.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I got the
ayes are approved?
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion carried.
Do we have a pose?
Do you have an opposed?
Opposed.
Pete. Okay. Now, can we go on to, and we'll go real fast, because I read real fast, next steps or additional board actions?
So agenda.
And the agenda.
For next month. I know you guys are going to be working on the governance documents, so we want to give you enough time to get through that. We'll assume we have the broadband update on what you guys are doing or not.
If there's something to report on,
we'll put you up. We'll,
yeah, we'll take just a
anything else five or that 10 you guys want to talk about.
So
In May, we'll try to have Larry Dunbar, the new GM, in. You guys can meet.
Boy, it'd be great too if we could, and maybe in the context of when we get to that point, the governance document to have what's his name? The new guy?
Dunbar?
Larry Dunbar?
No.
Joel legal Reisner. Counsel? It's
Joel. Yeah. Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Eisner.
Joel
Eisner.
Yeah.
Lawyer.
You know, we can sure add him on next month if see if I can get permission.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, we had the attorney on our agenda, what, 2 months ago or last month?
Yeah. Last month.
Last month. Rick. Yeah, right. And that, I can't remember specifically what that had to do with, but a lot of these, a lot of the issues we're dealing with in the governance subcommittee have to do with the RCW, and, you know, it might be a good idea just to have him available.
Just thinking out loud, I like what you just said, because on the governance subcommittee is the chairperson. I think that if we accept red lines from the CAB members, but I think before we present the next draft, I think it would be wise for us to hear from Joel, and then possibly get another draft that we would then that would be the time frame by which Mr. Dunbar would be on board, and we can talk with him about it. So how does that sound for a timeline?
That sounds good. He'll get a copy then to look at me in advance, and then with Larry, of course, as was mentioned, he's going to have some ideas. He's going to go to the board with ideas about the Citizens Advisory Board. I can just see it coming. So to have that discussion with you guys to get your input of what you believe is valuable, I think is a good start. So getting in there, man.
To make best use of his time, Joel Paisner's area of expertise is broadband, and if we had him here when the broadband committee was presenting or had questions, that would make better use of his time. Then we could do governance and broadband and what was the other one? Public records, mm-hmm. all at one time. And he wouldn't have to come on 3 different occasions.
It sounds like a whole agenda for him.
Yeah. Tell him about Joel. Well, all about Joel.
He's got to come to the
He does. Yes. And whatever we pick up at the VOC meeting will be under other items.
Okay. So I just want to. I just overheard something. So, his office is in Seattle. So we've got travel time and all that. So to make sure that we make most efficient use of staff.
They definitely on the clock.
Funds. Roger's point is very well taken.
It's expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. Time.
Yeah. We want to get out of here.
Yes, we do.
Because I think they closed this place up at 4:30.
And be locked in.
Okay. Recommendations. We've been talking about this. And this comes from my observation for the 20 February meeting. We established better contact between the CAB and our customers. The AGM, chief engineer, the GM, the BOC, we need to talk to them so that they don't get blindsided on anything. There's nothing worse than blindsiding a customer. And those of you that have been in business, no, that's true. We do want to maintain good relationships with the public and accept the need for specific engineering social policy studies from them. However, suggestions need to be presented to the CAB in the form of proposals. The CAB will discuss the proposal, and if it has merit, assign a subcommittee to work the issue. The subcommittee will check with the general manager, chief engineer, BOC, to ascertain, inform them if there's any merit or policy implications. If so, the CAB will go forward with it. However, it needs to bring the proposal back to the CAB for approval to commence study. We need to provide a list of project studies the CAB is working on and a short synopsis status for inclusion into the first Tuesday BOC meeting handout. Have the agenda prepared for inclusion into the first Tuesday BOC meeting handout. Have the CAB agenda handouts for the monthly meeting available to Don McDaniel by the Wednesday prior to the monthly meeting. This ensures CAB members, BOC, and the public have access to the information being discussed during cap. If you didn't understand any of that, that's fine.
What sounds to me as if you're stating some things that we talked about in the governance report. So I would request that you forward that to me and I'll get it to the other subcommittee members. The only thing I would change in that, Doug, is our meetings are this. Are you said the first meeting of the Board of Commissioners the first Tuesday? I think it's the second one because our meeting and then the CAB report happens in succession. Correct? So our meeting is the second Monday.
Second Monday.
And the Commissioners is the first Tuesday.
That's right.
Right.
So we would want the CAB report to be at the next Board of Commissioners meeting, but if you would forward that to me, then I'll incorporate your.
Right now, we're positioning ourselves to go because if we're going to submit something to the BOC, it's going to be for that first meeting, and I think that's the way we set it up.
So that'd be three weeks later, which would
that's 3 weeks.
Mm. Why not for the
third meeting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the third Tuesday.
First we just meeting. We just need the CAB agenda handouts to Don McDaniel. We need to get our agenda to the BOC prior to our meeting. So, and we're also requesting we have handouts available then, so that we can get them to the meetings. Where's my note? You also need to look at the roster and send any changes to Cammy. And I'll be signing the minutes. Do I have a motion?
Public comment.
Oh, excuse me, public comment.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, back to your governance policy. Yeah. There was one discussion with a board member.
Yes.
I would make clear that you can only discuss one board member, otherwise you run into a public board.
It states that.
It doesn't state that. Board only.
Because then we constitute a serial meeting, correct?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Any other public comments?
Still. How's the contract with the DM signed?
No. We're at the I would say the
there's
final
some negotiations going
final
on.
Final arm wrestling session is coming.
Think it's likely he'll sign it?
Any other public comments? We're going to look at the Robert's Rules of Order, but I'm going to ask for somebody to make a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Discussion. Meeting adjourned. All the ayes have it.
Thank you.